Father Jehovah, hallowed be your most holy name. Father, at this time we come forth to thank you for the privilege of being able to gather here freely, for the freedom that we have in this land till now, and the measure of peace that we have that enjoins us to come together to a place like this, and to also thank you for the hospitality shown here by the Saskatchewan brethren. We also thank you, Father, for the authorities that you placed in this land that see to these things, that we have this freedom and measure of peace. And at this time, we want to also pray for our dear brother, Sid, that you would use him as a tool in your hand to open up our hearts to learn something new from your mind, that ultimately when we leave this place together and go our separate ways, that those who meet with us will realize that we have been with your Son, that they will indeed witness to the fact that we are not taking your Son's name in vain. And so, Father, we thank you for this grand privilege of being together like this and stepping out in faith by living according to your word, and help us to glean the wisdom too daily that is contained therein, so that we might be glorifying you. And we thank you for the matchless gift of your Son, that being Christ Jesus, who died for us. In his name we pray.
So we're thankful Brother Sid and Sister Joan were able to be here with us in convention, and we will now ask Brother Sid to close the convention with the discourse, which is entitled God's Presence with Israel. God's Presence with Israel. Brother Sid.
My dear brethren, it was a great blessing to me just now to hear that beautiful hymn sung by you beautiful brethren. From this perspective, from here, and to see your faces as you sing that hymn has been a great blessing to me. Thank you for your presence here this weekend. Sister Joan and I have been greatly blessed by our being here this weekend, and we want to thank all of you dear brethren who sponsored this convention, those of you here in Yorkton and Sturgis and other places around here. We appreciate your labor of love, and we want to thank our Heavenly Father for the privilege of allowing us to be here. And as we have, many of us have said, it has been a kind of a special convention, and we feel that it has been too. And we have enjoyed it very, very much. Brother Brad mentioned the title, God's Presence with Israel. And as we leave this place, we want to leave this place with God's presence with us, and know that He knows our walk in newness of life, and that we'll trust that He will guide and direct us in a very difficult world. But of course we know that Israel is a typical people, and many of the scriptures that relate to Israel also have a greater significance to us as the call of God, the spiritual Israel. And during this weekend, we have heard lessons from this platform in connection with Israel, being this typical people. They're not only a typical people, but also their religious ceremony celebrations were all very typical. The tabernacle, the dimensions of the tabernacle, the furnishings of the tabernacle, the priests who served the tabernacle, the sacrifices, the animals, everything in connection with Israel and their religious order has a significance to his spiritual Israel picture. So I thought that as we part today, that we would take away with us certain scriptures that are also typical. And that is how God led his people, the typical people, and how we might relate that in some ways to how he will also lead the spiritual people. And associated with this calling and the direction and guidance and leading of God is associated the idea of rest. You'll see as we proceed in some of these scriptures that the thought is associated with rest as well. Now, the scripture I have in mind to start is in Isaiah chapter 4 and verses 5 and 6 for our opening text. The Lord God will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud of smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon, or above, marginal translation, all the glory shall be a defense or a covering, marginal translation. I'm reading from the King James. Often in the King James there will be a marginal translation that gives us a better thought. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert or hiding place from the storm and from the rain. So this is a particular passage of scripture addressed to natural Israel, God's typical people. And within this, of course, we see the marvelous manner in which this unfolds to his leading and direction with us, spiritual Israel. And of course, we know that one of the most outstanding ways in which God led his people was with this pillar. Can you imagine this? Can you picture this? Have you ever considered this? How that God, in this wonderful way, using this symbol of how he would bless his people and tell them what to do and when to do it. That is, when to remain where they were and rest, or to follow the cloud and proceed, or to lead his people. And as he led his people, so many marvelous and wonderful things took place with these people. Clouds are used in lots of ways in the Bible. For example, God's rainbow was set in a cloud. The second advent is told in the time of trouble is also associated with clouds. The Mount of Transfiguration was a time when God spoke from a cloud. Jesus ascended in a cloud, and the church is caught up in a cloud, and there are showers of blessings that are associated with clouds. And clouds have a wonderful way of illustrating teachings from God in a lot of wonderful and marvelous ways. Powerful symbols. The Bible is full of powerful symbols, and as students of God's Word, we enjoy looking some of these things up. We enjoy considering them, and especially from the perspective of what they mean in a spiritual sense. Now, in the Old Testament, as God led his natural people, Israel, we see that this is given to us in many, many ways. This cloudy pillar by day and the fiery pillar by night. In other words, the cloud would move, and this was an indication that the people should move. And we also find in the scripture from Isaiah that God's wonderful protection, a shield from the sun's heat, all having these marvelous implications to us as students of the spiritual aspects. It was an umbrella or a protection or a canopy. That's why we noted the marginal translation when we read Isaiah chapter 4 and those verses from the margin, a covering of protection, or this umbrella of protection that God had over his people. And then the fiery pillar at nighttime, obviously, it was a beacon to his people. It's something they could see and follow, a light, a very wonderful manifestation of God's presence with his people. Almost a supernatural way which God would lead his people. And truly he is leading us, the spiritual Israel, in very remarkable ways as well. It also served as an enlightenment in a dark place and time, that is the fiery pillar. And again, the protection from the forces of evil that are all about. Now, can we not see in this typical picture that the scriptures give us, can we not see already some implications to the leading and direction of the Lord's people down through the gospel age, leading them in all these wonderful ways? There are three passages of scripture that deal with this in a principal way. One is in Exodus 13, verses 21 and 22. And within these three different illustrations that we will consider, this one is the most brief. The next one has a little more detail that adds to what we might expect from these dealings with God's people. And then the third one is even more detailed again. So as we will consider these three illustrations of the cloudy pillar and the pillar of fire, we see within this the scriptural presentations, some of these symbols that will be of interest to us. Exodus 13, verses 21 and 22. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, and to go by day and by night. Isn't that wonderful when we consider this? And these are only a typical people. He's going to give them light. They could follow this light. Don't we see the marvelous way that this applies to the spiritual people? And he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. In other words, it was there all the time. This told them what they should do, when they should move and when they shouldn't. In other words, when they should rest and when they were to move. Brethren, we're all at rest, aren't we? We are resting in faith. Well, we don't have the grand rest that won't be manifest until the wonderful kingdom, and we're manifested in the kingdom itself. But we also have this rest of faith now during the gospel age, because we're a class of faith. We're a faith class being led by God by these beautiful symbols that are illustrated for us. In Exodus chapter 40, we read another passage of scripture dealing with this same matter. Only this time, we have a few more things added to this. Exodus chapter 40 and verses 34 through 38. Now notice as we read these passages, the greater detail that comes out. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, or the holy, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So the glory of the Lord, this marvelous light, is also, we will see, is going to be a part of the tabernacle as well. We call God's presence in the tabernacle the Shekinah light. Moses was not able to enter into the tent of congregation or the holy because the cloud abode thereon and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. The cloud moved, the children of Israel moved. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not until the day that it was taken up. And brethren, this illustrates how God is directing the lives of each one of us, all of his people down through the age. We are to follow him. We are followers of the Lord, aren't we? He's leading, we're following. And this is how we see this in symbolic language in connection with the typical people. Verse 38, for the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and the fire by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeyings. So this was a part of the typical feature of Israel throughout their whole experience. So if it was a type to the typical people, it will also be applied to the antitypical. And now, if we turn to Numbers, chapter 9, here we have another account of this. And this time, there is a great deal more detail. And this time, it's associated with rest. Numbers 9, 15 to the end of the chapter. Now here, within all this detail, we can see how this is gaining momentum. And on the day that this is beginning with verse 15. On the day that the tabernacle was reared up, or that is erected, you see, the Israelites, the typical people, carried the tabernacle with them, didn't they, as they followed the cloud. And when it stopped, they erected the tabernacle there. The tabernacle was reared up, or was erected. And the cloud then covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at evening there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And at the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. When the cloud stopped, they erected the tabernacle. The cloud remained over the tabernacle, and they set up their tents, and that's where they stayed until God showed them that they were to move. And at the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. And at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And now we begin to add this little dimension of the resting, and applying that to the spiritual Israel. We see that all of us are resting in faith until we receive that the real rest that Paul talks about in Hebrews, that the real rest that will be received when we enter the kingdom. But we still have a rest of faith because we're a faith class now, and these typical people rested while they wait upon the Lord, even as we, as antitypical Israelites, are also resting as we wait upon the Lord to see and to note his direction and guidance in our lives. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. So here we have commandments in both directions. Either stay and rest, or follow the cloud and move to the next place. And so it was, when the cloud abode from evening unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed, whether it was by day or by night. that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Now we come to verse 22. Now notice the implication here in verse 22. Whether it was 2 days or a month or a year, as long as the cloud stayed right where it was, they stayed right where they were and they rested. Even as the antitypical people also remain and rest. Rest in faith, waiting upon the Lord to direct some new movement in their lives. And that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents, and they journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they did journey. And at the commandment of the Lord, they rested in their tents, and at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord, and at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Moses also being a typical feature in all these plans of God. So as we have considered very briefly these accounts, and there are others as well, but these are the ones that have the meat in it, so to speak, that we like to think about and to consider as Bible students. Now in Exodus, the typical people experienced some very remarkable things. Exodus chapter 14. Now these are scriptures that we are very familiar with. But as we think upon them in this connection and see the way that God led and protected and guided his typical people out of this, we can appreciate even to a greater way that the antitypical people will be led. Exodus 14, we'll begin with verse 19. We'll read verses 19 and 20. The angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Now this is something that's also very remarkable in this connection with the typical people. That it not only served to lead them, but also, in this case, the one around behind them as this wall of protection. And it came in between the camp, this is verse 20, it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. That is because the Egyptians were following them. So this wonderful guidance from God in this illustration, this symbolic application, came around to protect them from behind. And it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other at the night. I think this is such a powerful passage, brethren. Here the Israelites are in the light and the pillar behind them, and the Egyptians who are following them in the dark. We as the Lord's people are in the light, and we aren't able to fight against the forces that are against us. We must rely upon the Heavenly Father's protection for us. We are in the light, but those who are in darkness, if they were able to attack from the rear, as would have been the case in the typical people here, chaos would have ensued. This is just a remarkable way in which God led these people. And I think the fact that they turn it around behind them even adds a dimension to it, that it kind of adds something to it. But we pick this up again here in, I think it's in verse 24. We're still in chapter 14. It came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud, and this troubled the host of Egyptians. So just the fact that the Egyptians, those who were in darkness, saw this troubled them. And they took off the chariot wheels that drove and drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." Now, can we not see within this a certain promise that would be later on given to the antitypical people? God is fighting for his people. He's protecting them. He's leading them. He's giving them light at night in a dark place. And he's giving them a shield from the heat in the daytime. And all these features to illustrate this power of God on behalf of his people. We can only pick up a couple of verses here and there in this consideration of this study, because we do have to kind of move along. But in Psalms, there's another, Psalms 105, there's another short passage that just carries this forward to this writing in connection with this. Psalm 105, verses 38 to 39. Now this is how the Egyptians considered this when the Israelites were leaving. Egypt was glad when they departed. They were glad to get rid of them because they could see that God was with them. They could see the protection that was with them. Here they are in darkness. And of course we know that as the story was to unfold, that the great events that took place after that. So he spread a cloud for a covering and a fire to give them light in the night. There are a great deal of scriptures that we could be looking at with this that we'll try to leave for your own personal study. But this just gives you an idea of some of the ways in which some of these scriptures dealing with this great feature of God's protection for his people and leading them, and how he's leading them, and how it pertains to his antitypical people, is just a short illustration of how this might take place in our lives as well. In Exodus 33 and verse 14, we read this in this connection. Exodus 33 and verse 14. And he said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Again, adding the emphasis to not only being led by God, and that his presence is always with us, and as we will soon be leaving this convention and going our separate directions to many different places, but let us, as we leave this place, let us leave here with this scripture in mind. If you don't remember anything else about this lesson, just keep this scripture in mind. My presence shall go with thee when you leave Yorkton, and I will give thee rest when you get home and on your way. And wait on me, and wait for that cloud to move in your lives. And of course now we have three new sisters here, and their lives are going to be totally new as they've made this commitment, and they're going to be watching to see how God is leading them and all in their lives and the different circumstances. This shows you how God is going to lead you in this typical way. Put your lives in God's wonderful strong hand. Look for his leading and his direction and his guidance in your life. And you don't have to worry about the enemies that might creep up behind you, because he has the power, the mighty hand of God is able to protect from the enemies that might come behind as well. Oh, that's a wonderful scripture to think about as we leave this convention. What better scripture could we leave here with than this promise to the typical people that my presence shall go with thee and I will give thee rest? I said a moment ago that the Apostle Paul is the one who puts a further emphasis on this study and rest, and of course it's in Hebrews. And there are quite a few scriptures in these passages in Hebrews, the third and fourth chapter. In the third chapter of Hebrews, beginning of verse 5, Paul is making this distinction between the house of servants and the house of sons. And of course, as the scripture reads, Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for the testimony of those things which were to be spoken after, that is, the antitype, but Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? And within these passages of Scripture in Hebrews, Paul goes back and talks about this rest that was promised to a natural Israel, and of course they failed to receive it, failed to appreciate it, failed to heed the wonderful admonitions and direction of God in their lives. So they didn't get the blessing. They didn't get that blessing. But we, as an antitypical people, a spiritual Israel, will receive the blessing if we're faithful unto death. Now notice as chapter 4 starts, keeping this thought in mind, and that is with the scriptures that we just read in the Old Testament as well, which lead into this, and incidentally Paul really, as Paul was writing this, I'm sure he was thoroughly familiar with those Old Testament scriptures. And his interpretation gives us this wonderful lesson. Verse 1, chapter 4. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us, see the antitype, unto us was the gospel preached, even as we just read in chapter 3 that the house of Moses was only a house of servants in type, but we are the house of our Lord Jesus in the antitype, and we are this faith clasp, we are resting in faith, and we're following the Lord and his direction in our lives. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, that's the typical people, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we, which have believed, do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Well, he's talking to the antitypical people, and in reference to this great hope that we have. And as we consider this, we see, in closing, the wonderful assurance from Joshua. We won't take time to read the scripture. You can jot it down, read it in your spare time, Joshua 1, verses 5 through 9, where we are told that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, he is talking way back there in Joshua. Do we think for a moment that he will not direct our lives, we have full assurance that God will direct our lives. Psalm 132 and verses 13 and 14. Psalm 132, 13 and 14, the Lord hath chosen Zion, and he hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. Now, brethren, we've been talking about this faith class. We are resting in faith, and I think we all realize that the grand, greater rest that we will all receive if we're faithful unto death. That's the real rest at the end of the way, isn't it? But we are resting in faith now, and surely being here this weekend has been a blessing to all of us as we have rested in faith and waited on Him and paused for a few moments of reflection and heard some lovely studies and lessons from the dear brethren who served us here this weekend. And when we leave here, never forget that my presence shall go with thee and I will give thee rest. That's God's assurance. Our closing passage, as the chairman is here, we will select Revelation chapter 21 and verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. But we have the other great hope that is before us, that if we can be faithful to abide in the presence of God, being led by him in his direction in our lives, that we'll have the great joy of lifting up the whole world of mankind in the kingdom, that the whole world will be at peace as we seek to know and to do the will of God. May God bless each one of you as we part, and as soon as this meeting is over, Sister Joan and I will be leaving immediately because we have a way to go. We want to get home a decent hour. So may God bless each one of you as we leave. May I say on behalf of Joan, God bless you all. We have enjoyed being with you here this weekend. Keep being faithful, and may we one day have the great joy of sharing together in that kingdom.
Thank you very much, Brother Sid, for that beautiful lesson. And, you know, I think all of us assembled here will never look at clouds again in the same way. So as we leave here today or tomorrow, as we go back home to our sundry duties, as we're traveling to conventions, we can look up to the skies and see the clouds in the sky, and remind us of God's presence for us, God's watch care over us, his leadings for us, and the rest of faith which we have in him. And we thank Brother Sid for that beautiful lesson and his services for us at the convention. I'll ask Brother Andy to come forward at this time as we open our hymn books to hymn number 361. Brother Sid has chosen hymn number 361, Under His Wings, a fitting hymn to go along with his discourse. We'll sing all three verses, and we'll rise in the third, and we'll have Brother Sid dismiss this session in prayer, and then Brother Andy Boistrick of our local ecclesia will close the convention with some closing remarks. Hymn 361, please rise on the final verse. Yeah.
Father, we thank Thee for the privilege of being here in this place this past few days. For those of like precious faith, we thank Thee for the opportunity of being here. For those who love Thee and who are striving to know and to do Thy will. And as we will soon be leaving this place, we pray that Your presence will be with each one and that You will give us rest as You have promised. We thank Thee for this convention in a very special way because of the three new sisters that symbolize their baptism here at this place. We remember them and their newness, this new walk in life. We pray that Thou be with them and direct their courses, that they may be faithful and to share in the abundant blessings of the future. The real rest. But we thank Thee for this rest of faith we have now, and we do so in Jesus' precious name. And we ask it in His name. Amen.